Well, good afternoon to you all and Merry Christmas. It's terrific to have so many of you here and wonderful to see so many new faces. So welcome amongst us here at Wellspring Anglican Church. My name is Sam. I'm the assistant pastor in this parish, and I get the privilege to share the word of God today, the message of the Bible and about Christmas. And so please bow your heads with me and we'll ask for God's help to understand what his own story, the greatest story of all. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another day, another year in which we can come and worship you. Thank you, God, that even though you're invisible and outside this creation, you're not unknowable. You've come into this world. You've come down in love. And we pray that you'll open our eyes and our hearts now to see that magnificent truth. And we pray that it'll be life-transforming for each and every one of us. Amen. Well, let me ask you, would you know if you're in the presence of greatness? Queen Elizabeth died at the age of 96 this year. She had ruled on the British throne for 70 years. Now, there's a true story about one occasion when she went out for a stroll, a walk, with her royal protection officer. His name was Richard Griffin. And the Queen and this protection officer, Richard Griffin, were strolling down around the streets near Balmoral Castle, the Queen's holiday home in Scotland, when they bumped into some American tourists. Now, apparently, the Queen would always stop and just talk to random strangers, as you do if you're a queen. And so, but when she stopped to say hello, it was clear from the first moment that these American tourists didn't recognize who she was. And so the American tourists began telling the queen all about who they were and how, where they're from, and about all the sights they'd been seeing across Britain. Then the tourists stopped and they asked the Queen. They said, they asked her, where do you live? And she said, well, I live in London, but I've got a holiday home just here on the other side of the hill. And so the tourists asked, well, how often have you been coming up here to holiday? The Queen replied, oh, about 80 years. The tourists then asked her if she'd ever met Queen Elizabeth. To which the Queen replied, well, I haven't, but my friend Dick here, he has. He meets her quite regularly. Now, the tourists were chuffed. They were thrilled. And so they turned to this Royal Protection Officer, Richard Griffin, and they said, oh, you've met the Queen. What's she like? Now, because Griffin, this protection officer, had known the Queen for a long time, he knew he could pull her leg. And so he said to the tourists, oh, she can be very cantankerous at times, but she's got a lovely sense of humour. Now, the next thing that happened was the American tourists, they pulled out their cameras and they handed them to the Queen. And they said, can you take a photo of us with Richard Griffin, the protection officer? And so the Queen obliged, and she aimed and pointed. Then she asked, could she swap and have a photo with the tourists? Now, the whole time, she never let on who she was. Finally, the Queen waved goodbye after having a photo. Then she turned to Richard Griffin, the Royal Protection Officer, and said, I'd love to be a fly on the wall when they get home back to America and show their friends the photos, and hopefully one of them will realize who I am. Now, it's a classic story on many levels, a true story. But one of the reasons it's classic is that it reminds us that when we're not expecting something, we can easily miss it. The familiarity of something can cause us to disregard it. And so the American tourist just thought it was just another little old lady. You see, familiarity can breed complacency. Familiarity can breed complacency. Now, it's possible that the same thing can happen with Christmas. We travel along the same festive paths each year. We know what to expect, the lights, the trees, the traditions, the music, the movies, the presents. And it's all fabulous stuff. I love it. Christmas is my favourite time of the year. But as Christmas Day rolls around each year, it's possible for us to be dulled by the familiarity. The familiarity of Christmas can breed complacency in us too. The familiarity can cause us to disregard the fact that we're in the presence of greatness. And as we hear the first Christmas story, we too can think, oh, it's just another little old baby. You see, we can miss the Christ in Christmas, Christmas. But if we do that, we miss out on something very valuable, something, someone incredible right in front of us. Because listen to what the Bible says. We heard it just a moment ago in one of those verses that was read. Listen to what the Bible says was happening that very first Christmas. It comes from John chapter 1, verse 14, sentence 14. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, we're just going to focus on that one verse, that one sentence, or that one verse today. Actually, that one verse contains two sentences, but they make two incredible claims that get to the heart of Christmas and Christianity. Have a look with me. The first incredible claim in that verse is that God came down to earth in skin. God came down in skin. Listen to the first sentence again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, back at in the very first verse that we heard the ladies read, it said that the Word was God. Here in verse 14, it says the Word became flesh. Now, when we join the dots, it's telling us that God became flesh. It's telling us that God came in skin. God came into this world in skin. It's telling us that when Jesus left his crown in heaven and came down to his cradle in Bethlehem, he didn't just come like a human, he came as a human. Now think about that for a moment. That's extraordinary. You see, if God came in skin, then as Mary cradled her baby in her arms and looked into the face of Jesus, then she was looking into the face of God. Think about that. God has a face. Christmas means that God has a face. And now what that means, if God came down and has shown us his face, is that God doesn't play hide and seek with us. You see, we don't have to guess who God is. We don't have to guess what God's like, even though he's invisible and outside this creation. People down the centuries have speculated what God's like. Some have thought that God was a cold golden calf. Some have thought he's the rising sun. Some have thought God's magical. Others have thought he's a maniac. Still others have thought God's to be avoided or dreaded or appeased. But the fact is, we don't need to guess who God is anymore, because God's made himself known. You see, if God came in skin and God has a face, then we can know God. His name is Jesus. But the reverse side of the coin is also true. Not only can we know who God is, but if God came down in skin, and then it also means that God knows us. You see, God knows what our lives are like. Well, how? Why, you might ask? Well, it's because he's been here himself. He knows all the hardships of human life. You had a family argument? Jesus has too. Have you experienced mental anguish? Jesus has too. Have you ever grieved over someone you dearly loved? Well, Jesus has too. Have you ever been betrayed by a close friend? Well, Jesus has too. Have you ever been misinterpreted or unfairly represented? Well, Jesus has too. Have you ever been ignored by the very people that you're trying to help? Well, Jesus has too. Have you ever had to endure physical pain? Well, Jesus has too. Have you ever had to face a fearful future? Well, Jesus has too. You see, whatever it is, Jesus has been there. And so God knows what your life is like. God knows how you feel. And no matter how hard your life's been, God gets you. God's exchanged his crown in heaven for a cradle in Bethlehem. He came down in skin. He took on a human face. Now, why did God go so far? Why would he bother with a journey like that if it meant suffering for him? Well, God took on your face so that you might see his. God took on your face so that you might see his. You see, the second incredible claim made here in this verse is that not only did God come down in skin, but that also God came down to save. God came down to save us. Listen to the second sentence in verse 14. It's written by Jesus' best, closest friend, a man called the Apostle John. And he said, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, even if we're too old to believe in Santa, some of us, most of us still live as if Santa is true. What do I mean by that? Well, deep down, we tend to think that we deserve the gifts that we get at Christmas. And when we're kids, we're taught that that's the way Santa works, that Santa gives nice presents to nice boys and girls. But Jesus isn't like Santa. You see, if we're good people, then why did Jesus not need to come down to this world? If we could save ourselves, then why would we need God to send a savior? But if we're honest, we know that every person is actually self-centered, even ourselves. Usually, even on a special day like Christmas Day, when families gather, we struggle not to get irritated and irritable with one another, sometimes over the most petty things. And so if we're honest, we're far less nice, far less good than we like to admit most of the time. And so we might be able to save ourselves from going broke or running out of petrol or even from a broken heart, but we aren't good enough to save ourselves from sin. We aren't good enough, great enough to save ourselves from death. For that, we need a saviour. But that's exactly why Jesus came. Listen to that sentence in verse 14 again. It says, the one and only Son, that's Jesus Christ, came from the Father, God the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Notice those last two words, grace and truth. You see, Jesus came to save us. Grace means to give us what we don't deserve. In Christ, God came down to save us. Not just to sympathize with us and our sufferings, but to save us. He came not just to save us from challenges or difficulties or our enemies or politicians. He came to save us from our sins. You see, Christ didn't just leave his crown in heaven to come down to his cradle in Bethlehem. He then left his cradle in Bethlehem to take up his cross in Jerusalem. On the cross, because of his grace and truth, God treated Jesus as if he were you or me, so that he could treat you or me like we were Jesus. That's phenomenal. Have you ever tried to light a match, light a candle at Christmas? And you've taken out your matchstick out of the box, but then you find that it won't light. And it won't light because the match has already been used. Now, the used matchstick doesn't work because you can't strike the same thing twice. Well, in a similar way, when Jesus died on the cross, it was this as if God burnt up his righteous anger in that moment. You see, Jesus experienced the judgment that our sins deserve. And so what that means is that the fire's been burnt. And so it can't burn again. There's no more anger. And so that means that you and I can be forgiven. And so we can be friends with God. Isn't that amazing? You see, God came down in skin to save us from our sins. That's why God went so far. That's why God bothered to go on the journey. God took on your face so that you might see his. But more than that, not just see his face. I mean, it could be an angry face. But he took on your face so that you might see his face with a smile. So that you might know his love. You see, God could have come down. He could have just demanded our allegiance. But instead, he came down to display his affection. Now, when we grasp that, his affection, God's affection for us, well, how can we respond in any way but give him our allegiance? So don't let the familiarity of Christmas breed complacency in you. Don't be like the American tourists. Jesus wasn't just another little old baby. But realize, because of that first Christmas, you and I stand in the presence of greatness. God himself. God came down in love. God has a face. And so make sure you can see his loving smile directed towards you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace to us. We thank you that you're unlike any other king or queen or politician in this world. That you haven't just loved your mates, but you've loved your enemies. You've loved us, even though we've ignored you. Even though we've done wrong against you and your other creations, other people. But we thank you that you haven't given up on us. You haven't thrown in the towel. You haven't even sought in the first place to punish us. But that you've come down and taken that punishment upon yourself. That we can know your forgiveness. And so we can also know your friendship. Help each one of us here to know your love for us. Your grace and truth this Christmas. Amen.